The reading this morning from the Hebrew Bible is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got readied and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And the contemporary reading is by Joy Cowley, Virgin Birth. We have within us a virgin place, a holy space which belongs to God alone. We know it by its hunger. We name it by its need. The space will not be touched by the people we love, or the things we gather, or the positions we hold. We have within us a growing place, an eternal space that exists for truth, where the love of God overcomes us, where the life of God fills us. The Emmanuel space, where we conceive and become pregnant of the Holy One, and day by day give birth to Christ in the world. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so we light the fourth candle, which is for love. And in your order of service, there is a piece of information there about DCM, which is the place to which all our food bank donations go each week. And someone just said the other day that when we talk about please give to DCM, no one says very often what DCM stands for. I think DCM have chosen to be DCM a little like KFC has chosen to be KFC. They want to be known by the acronym. But on your order of service, I think just over the page from where we are at the moment, there's some information about what they do and the chance to donate a welcome pack for someone who's they have found a home for and is moving into a new home, and their bank account is there as well. So that's there for your information. They show love, and sometimes it's tough love to those who are on the streets. Let us pray. May love be ours, may love be yours, may love be mine. Amen. The two scriptures today are based in small places. Bethlehem, at the time, was a small space within the larger space of Israel, and Israel is a smaller space within the larger space of the Middle East. And it's certainly all very small compared with the mighty Assyrian Empire mentioned in the reading, which did indeed swallow Israel up and hold it under its control for many years. When you were a child at school, did you used to write in your exercise book, Fred Smith, 12 Acorn Place, High Tai Tai, Wellington, New Zealand, South Pacific, the Earth, the Solar System, and you finally finished up with the Universe? And I wasn't quite sure whether it left me feeling very, very tiny in this big universe, or that it connected me to something big and significant. Maybe we all had a different experience. Bethlehem is a little like that, a tiny town, not particularly important, not a capital city, not on the trade routes, just small town, Middle East. And Mary, when she finds she's pregnant, goes to an equally small hilltop town to see her cousin Elizabeth. The writer's chosen Elizabeth as a dialogue partner to hear Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, recited weekly at least in liturgical churches. We did not hear that song read today, but we do hear Elizabeth's recognition of the moment. Her extrasensory perception fits into this mystical story that elevates the small and the quiet, the lost and the least, the weak and the waiting. Love where you least expect it. And Joy Cowley's poem picks up something of that paradox, that we, many of us who are not virgins in the usual sense, nevertheless have a place often tucked away inside us, difficult to find and easy to hide, a virgin space. A space not one of purest shrinking violet quality, but one of readiness and fecundity, creativity, and yes, again, where you might not associate it, waiting love. We crash and bash about our world a bit these days. Cars, and even sometimes Wellington regional buses, get us there more quickly than walking or riding a donkey. Although it took me 2 hours to get from Seatoon to Broadmeadows on Thursday. In another part of the country, I could have gone from Gore to Dunedin in that time. Cell phones reach us wherever we are, even in a hilltop town. And thanks to social media, we can always find a receptive audience, whether or not we might regret later telling Facebook all that stuff about ourselves. But Mary goes to Elizabeth to ponder this change for her in quietness, where her great news will receive a sympathetic and empathetic reaction. Love where you most expect it. As I wrote this reflection, the church was bustling with guests for a wedding. We were trying to pack up for the year. Letitia was trying to record the phone message and kept on getting interrupted by the noise of guests and a choir practicing. Love where you least expect it. One of the distinguishing features of the scriptures is that love and sometimes power get handed to the most unexpected people. It begins with the noisy, smelly shepherds who were on the bottom rung of Middle Eastern society at the time. And it continues with Jesus picking a tax collector and a bunch of fishermen as his band of disciples. It includes lepers, a woman caught in adultery, no one tells us about the man caught in adultery, a widow with her last small coin, and ends with a criminal death. Love is shown and given, preached and taught to those whom and where you would least expect it. Underlying all these stories, ones like the Christmas story that tug at your heartstrings, and the ones like the crucifixion from which we turn in horror, is this message that love is for everyone, even when you least expect it. You might be a little tired, you might be little, you might be depressed or lonely, out of step with the rest of the world, different in your beliefs, crazy, grumpy, or just straight boring in your own opinion. But the love that we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Advent is for you too. And any person or institution, and particularly any church, which has ever suggested that for some reason you are outside the pale, beyond redemption or hopeless in any way, is wrong. Love is for all, whatever the circumstances, even when your cell phone is going off in the middle of the reflection. So this year, whatever you did or didn't do, whatever you said or didn't say, whatever you thought or didn't think, whoever you are or whoever you are not, it is still true that you are loved. And love will continue to be found where you might least expect it. That's what unconditional means. So there's really nothing more to say. A space of quiet. So may it be. Amen.